When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Prime Parts. Thank you for clicking over. We're still here with Hayley Morris. Hey, what was your nickname growing up?
Morris.
Oh, it's Morris.
Whoa. Oh, no, Bee Stings.
Bee Stings? Why Bee Stings?
Fat-chested.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. When you don't have boobs, people were like, Bee Stings. And I was like... Correct.
School's so savage, isn't it?
What was yours?
I don't know. Mitt Dick. I was at school.
Oh, Mitt Dick.
Not for any reason. It just was like it rhymed.
Mitt Dick doesn't rhyme.
Mitt Dick would work.
Yeah.
Mitt Dick.
I don't know.
What was yours?
Mine was Lango.
I got called Rudolph because my nose used to go red when I was young when it was cold.
Oh, that's quite sweet then.
Yeah.
And Noddy. I got called Noddy.
Cute though.
It's all coming back now, actually.
Hey.
And little bitch boy.
No.
Chicken.
No. Little bitch boy.
Trauma's really coming up.
Oh God. Get back in the cupboard, little bitch boy.
Hayley, back to your book. By the way, I want to shout this out. We can go and get your book right now, can't we?
We can, yeah.
We're gonna leave the description below, but you can go and get it in any bookstore.
Well,
okay. Any bookstore.
Any bookstore. And if they don't have it, demand that they go and get it for you.
Yeah. Go into any bookstore.
Particular that we can sort of
you can get it
name
from
and shame.
Tesco, Waterstones, mostly Waterstones, and then some WH Smithers.
WH Smithers.
Also, obviously, Amazon.
And also Amazon. Okay. Before we get into Me vs. Period, how to cover up a fart? Because we left that. This is page 88. How do we cover up a fart?
There are many ways of covering up a fart.
Okay, go on, give it to me.
You can do the old cough trick.
Yeah. But that doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
No, it does not work.
No, you have to make sure that you're coughing louder than the fart.
but you've got to deal with the smell as well. Like, what are you going to do about that?
That's the hard part. I think at the beginning of a relationship, that is a
Look how
worst
weird
thing.
He looks when Minim reads a book. It looks so... Why do you look so strange reading it?
The leg up.
Yeah, I know. You
look, this sofa is... You've got your leg up as well.
Yeah, I'm having a nice time. You look unrelaxed with your...
So you're relaxed? For fuck's sake.
Do you know what? Rather than telling you how to cover it up, because you can read it in the book, I'm going to tell you about the first time I farted in front of my boyfriend.
Love this.
Because I almost put it in the book and then I took it out because there was just so much fart and poop stuff that I was like, it's too much. It was quite early on and it was when I lived on the Isle of Wight. So he was down visiting and we'd been to my friend's for dinner and we were quite drunk, got back to mine and we were sat on the sofa watching TikTok together and he fell asleep and I was like, right, just need to go to the toilet. So I left all the doors open and I went for a wee, but I don't know if it happens to guys, but sometimes a fart just...
Yeah.
It's like the loudest thing in the world.
Yeah. Yours is echoed in the loo.
Yeah, and like, honestly, echoed around the toilet.
Dropped a bag of bones in there.
A whole bag of bones, a whole body. It was so loud, so proud. And I just sat there, eyes glazed over, and I was like,
oh my God.
Proper fight or flight response.
It's almost like you feel like you've just committed a murder and you're like, okay, like, what awful. Do I do now? How do I get out of this?
The way I got out of it was the most unhinged thing. I basically turned the tap on and then was going as if that sounded anything like the fart that just erupted out of me.
So this is almost like mimicry tactics.
Yeah, completely off. And then meanwhile,
which probably just draws more attention honestly, to it and then he thinks that you're mental.
I thought, please just be asleep. Please be asleep. Really not that far away from me. The flat
is quite
small.
He's up in bed getting dressed.
Yeah.
See you later.
He's on Uber.
It was awful. I walked in the room and I was like, oh, he's still asleep. The next day, we were having breakfast and he was like, I heard you fart yesterday. I was like, you left like 24 hours.
That's huge.
It was awful. It was so embarrassing.
Oh my God.
I like that he waited.
Yeah, he really was like, I'm going to drop it when she least expense it, like, just like I did.
When she least expenses it. Sorry, did you expense that?
Expense that.
Yeah, when she least expenses that one.
Sorry, I've been looking at your VAT returns and there's something out of line here. You've not included that fart you did last night.
I'm very good at talking.
That reminds me of the story of my friend who they're now actually married. But we went to get her a party in I don't know why this reminds me. We went to a party in Bristol. Anyway, talking to someone leaving. Anyway, they started making out and it was really good and they started kissing, all that kind of stuff. And my friend was a bit drunk and he went into the bathroom. He went to the bathroom to drink more champagne and he came back out of the room and he decided, I'll just get naked. Came out of the room completely naked. And he saw that the door was shut. And he was like, what the hell? So he ran. It was in a hotel. So he ran out of the door, looked over, and saw her running down the stairs. And so he decided to chase her. Completely naked.
I'm pretty sure that's in American Psycho. Did he drop a chainsaw?
And we were like to him, what are you going to do if he caught him? No, got you.
With his dick flying around. Like,
but now then they got married because of it.
So I don't know if that would happen to everyone. Don't try it.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit dodgy.
That's terrifying.
Okay, another me versus period.
It's a lot of battles. Fighting.
But isn't life a whole?
It is.
Every
day is a struggle.
Every day. It's always a battle. Always a battle in the mind.
Have you managed to, through doing this process, are you better at not overthinking?
Yeah, I think because I talk about it so much, I'm now like, well, I say that. Sometimes I'm like, no, I can't do it. I don't know what I'm doing. Also, it's at the moment, it's very much I'll have a conversation with someone and then afterwards I'm like, why did I say that? Why did I say that? Do they think I'm an awful person? And I will think that over and over and over and over. And no matter what I do, I can't get rid of that one.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're the nicest alien. So no one would ever think that.
Yeah. You're saying some horrible things.
Terrible things.
But you knew no one would ever think that about you ever.
But that doesn't stop the brain from saying it. And also you're like, oh, was I a complete loser? Does everyone think I'm a freak? And that goes over. Like I met someone the other day, won't name them. And I think they are just a very funny, great person. And I met them and I was so over gushy. I'd had a drink because I was like, we were at like a launch. Well, it was at my book launch and I was talking to them. And I was like, you're amazing. You're so funny. You're so great. I wouldn't shut up because I was so nervous as well. And then afterwards I was like, oh
I hate it.
God.
I think that's complimentary.
When you overcompensate and you just get stuck in and you're like, no, I can't.
I think that's complimentary. I don't think people ever.
It made me cringe so much.
No way. It's something like 20% of people's time they spend like thinking about other people, maybe even less. And
what
then
was
there
that Winston Churchill quote. It's like you spend your 20s worrying what everyone thinks. You spend your 40s not giving a shit what anyone thinks. You didn't say shit, obviously. And then you spend your 60s realizing that no one gave a shit in the first place anyway.
What about your 30s?
30s is a little bit.
Just masturbating, furiously.
Your 30s?
You don't leave the house.
That's what you say.
30s, spending your time just masturbating, that's quite strange if you're just doing that.
That's what Winston Churchill said.
Yeah. It's a direct quote.
He was a weird guy, so take it up with him.
But I think in terms of overthinking, that if you have that, that's actually an okay one to have, because as we get older, I think we...
What do you think... like, why do we have this? Why do we have this brain? So my understanding, like, I get a bit spiritual, is that we have the soul and then we've got, like, the human, like, monkey mind.
Yeah.
Why is it so overactive? Like, we've, like, seemed to have become this, like, mad, neurotic kind of society of people.
I don't really know. I think most of the stuff that happens with the overthinking and the self-criticism, well, being like, what do you call it? Your inner critic. Words. I think that most of that is your ego. So it's mainly like that part of you that isn't you that just wants to bring you down. But not being from a medical background or anyone that's actually studied it, I can only say like vaguely what I think. And I just think it's that your brain just goes off on, I don't know. I think it's just picking up on things that are your fears, picking up on things that would be terrible to happen. And then it projects those to you as things that you're actually thinking or they're going to happen.
I think those like instincts come from a very like base like survival instinct almost, and that's kind of spiraled and got out of control. Whereas like the soul that sits beneath like the human mind is actually just very chilled,
pretty
doesn't
chilled.
Give a shit, but it's just got this like.
This is.
Hey,
I found out something the other day which I'm going to read to you, which I had no idea. So like I have a real problem with abandonment. Like that's my big thing. Like I'm always scared, and that goes back to I'm scared that like. I will people please and accept 400 dinners and then let everyone
400 know. Dinners. You Henry the VIII.
No, but I just can't bear the thought of letting anyone down. And then that leads to people pleasing or whatever it is. And I always thought in my head, clinical head, I was like, okay, that's most likely because parents got divorced, boarding school, rejection, fearing of that. And then someone told me that I have ADHD, right? And someone told me that attention deficit hyperactive disorder, it's harder to focus and pay attention, all those kind of things. But also, one of the big things that people who have that is rejection sensitive dysphoria, which is 99% of teens and adults with the ADHD are more sensitive than usual to rejection. One of the big things in life.
I don't think you should dispel the stuff that's happened in your
no,
life.
No, I'm not saying it is.
Because I think that though sometimes ADHD and other things like that do manifest from experiences.
Oh, do you think they are?
I think I definitely think they're interlinked. I don't think it's just like suddenly you get it, I think.
But that made me feel so much better. I was like, oh my God, that's obviously why I have it.
Yeah.
No?
Are you anxiously attached then as like an attachment style?
I think that I go through stages where I freak out about like, you know, whether it's in my relationship or it's whether it's with friendships. I'm like, oh God, wait, hang on a second. Am I this or am I that? I'm way better than I was. Like before I used to like really go over and over. I could be 100 times better. I'm like 100 times better. But there are moments that I go through of sort of this weakness where really only in my relationship with Soph sometimes I do it. And that's like not sexy either. Like that is the least... sexiest thing when you just feel a bit insecure about us at the moment. It's like we're getting married, what are you talking about? I don't know,
we are good,
like, we're okay, like what are you doing? But I don't know where it flares up. It's really weird. I don't know, you don't have that, man?
I think it's in there somewhere, maybe not as
no, it's not anywhere
as,
in that.
It's not as heightened as yours.
Is Hayley, what about you?
I'm actually avoidant.
Oh God, give it to me.
I thought like I'm an avoidant attachment person. The words are hard. I'm avoidantly attached. How do you say it?
Avoidant? Right? I don't know. What is
it? Yeah, I'm an avoidant. So basically, like, when things start getting serious, I'm a bit like, push away. I'm not so bad now. I think, like, therapy very much helped that. But weirdly, with friends, I'm very much anxious attached. So I'm like, please like me.
Yeah.
And, like, I really want other people's approval. But in an actual relationship, I'm very much avoidant and want my own space. And I'm very independent. Which I think is really weird.
Wait, hang on a second. I also have that, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Jay, no.
You constantly are next thing. It's like, I've got that as well.
Don't scroll through TikTok or you'll have everything under the sun.
Yeah, but I definitely when...
Including an erection. That's what
Don't waste an erection.
Don't waste it.
Never trust an erection and always trust a fart.
Good, solid
also,
advice,
never
Tom.
Waste a fart.
No, I, before marrying Soph, in all my relationships, commitment. And then when I got this puppy, the real reason I really struggled with it, because it was a commitment and that you can't step away from.
How are you getting on?
Yeah, fine now, but it was like a hard, like I definitely have that commitment thing as well.
I think it's that you're being tied down almost.
Yeah,
for sure. It goes against that kind of inert feeling that we have for like freedom, I think.
Yeah.
we want to be able to like be mobile and move wherever we want. We don't actually know why or where, but we just have this like deep instinct. I have that as well.
Yeah, I want to like, run.
I want to just be able to, if you know, if needs be, Pascal turns up and I'm like, let's go.
We're off, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, monogamy supposedly doesn't work. Statistically.
I don't think I could be polyamorous though.
No, nor could I.
Way.
But statistically.
Jamie, no, no.
No, no.
No, no.
No, 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 no.
Never.
No, not me. But statistically, monogamy doesn't work.
Mm.
Like more people are getting divorced now than are staying
marriages,
together. Yeah. It? But I still have that Disney aspect towards life that I think it's wonderful to spend your life with somebody and someone, and if you find that one person, that's magical, right? That's for me 100%. But statistically it doesn't work. And in Sweden, they're like the happiest in their relationships because they actually don't live together sometimes.
I've heard a lot of people that don't share a room.
Yeah, don't share a room.
Well, I don't know anyone that doesn't live together, but
that's the best bit though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it is good to have separate stuff.
Like what?
Separate loos.
Yeah, separately.
You'd definitely benefit.
I would really
from
that. Benefit from that.
Bit of peace and serenity.
I really would.
What would you do if your partner said to you, "Look, I want to have a separate room"?
I would be okay with that, and I actually think that I kind of want that. But we'd stay in one room, but we'd both have our separate rooms if we want to chill out.
Ideal for arguments.
Exactly, but slam the door.
But hey, do you have that because? Because maybe you can overthink and that's quite exhausting. So if you're around someone all the time, you actually just want to sit in your own existence rather than think about what they're thinking about.
Probably, because also after I've had a lot of socialization, I'm like, oh, I just literally don't think I can do it anymore. I need to go into a room on my own. Like, yeah,
loads of people are like that. Yeah.
It's quite nice. I was on my own recently.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
Are you
alone with your thoughts?
I get energized around people more than I but then...
It's because you're kind of a character. It's all a facade. Nothing's real. You can't be in your own space because you're like, what am I?
Who am I?
Looking in the mirror.
Just wanking.
Why did you add that on in such a...
I know. Well, because that's lots. Most people have that where actually they get energized by themselves. It's actually a way better way to be.
Yeah.
Way better because it means you're sort of comfortable in yourself and comfortable in your skin and all those kind of things. Okay.
What's the big ball symbolize?
I have periods.
We haven't spoken about periods. Why are men fascinated with periods?
Are they?
Yeah, I think men are fascinated with periods.
Well, what questions do you have?
Okay.
Come on, interviewer.
Why don't you ask a question then?
I'm not a medical professional.
Yeah, I know you have
we
to say
that.
We spoke
about periods last time, I seem to remember.
Yeah, but they are. Firstly, they are, it's... Like,
I know what you're about to do here. You're about to go down the whole like, oh, periods are fine. And like, oh.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I said that
women
tough.
Love me.
No, I said that tough. Periods are to happen
I'm
once
just
a month.
Down with the...
What, the periods?
So down with it. Down I know I know everything.
Periods are tough. They happen once a month.
Mm-hmm.
They...
Thanks, Doc.
Correct.
So enlightening.
Ding, ding, ding.
So smart.
So you know it all.
But why are you then saying something?
I way more enjoy you struggling. It's a lot better.
Periods are tough because they happen once a month.
The end.
Right, okay, come on. This is it. Hard hitting. We're going to clip this up.
You know about female anatomy.
I'm not professing to.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas you are because you're trying to get the vote.
Alex didn't even know where the vulva was.
I didn't.
Well, I didn't know what a vulva was until I was like 23. Just thought it was your vagina everywhere.
Your vagina everywhere?
Everywhere.
That's my vagina everywhere.
My vagina's all around town.
What is a vulva now, mate?
It's the whole like front porch, isn't it?
It's the porch of the house.
It's the front.
I mean, if you put it like that, it kind of is the porch.
It's the front.
The outside.
You sit outside on a rocking chair in the Volvo. Hey, you ain't coming in here. Get out of my town, boy.
So what names do you know for it?
What?
What names do you know for all of it?
Clitoris.
Yeah.
Oh,
the clitoral hood.
Clitoris. Vulva.
Honestly, it got so awkward. I was saying,
oh, shitting a lot.
Shit.
The
peepee hole.
You breathe
the urethra, somewhere. Yeah.
All right, Mr. Oxford grad. Jesus.
Because I know what the
urethra is. He's got a PhD.
Because I know what the urethra is.
The womb.
I went the womb, he pushed backwards and then up.
The womb? The
womb. Like it was some sort of slide.
I'm not going to become a gynecologist.
What else is there going?
The labia is... Oh, I forgot which one that is.
You don't know what the labia is?
Where's the? I know exactly what the labia is.
Oh, God, of course you do. What is it then?
What is it? Try. Get a design of a vagina. Hold up your
hand. Design of a vagina.
No, get your hand up. And He's got it.
No.
No, just do it.
Okay, right. Is the labia on the outside?
Look like you're above the Illuminati.
The vaginati. I don't know where, I don't know what it is. Pass.
It's people call them like beef curtains.
Yeah, the skin.
I thought that was the
beef curtains.
I thought that was the wizard sleeve. No, I thought that was
the worst names for it.
First,
so mean.
What was the first one? Yeah, it's horrible. What was the first
one? The vulva.
The vulva. I thought that was the vulva is all encompassing, right?
Pretty much.
The labia is within the vulva. It comes.
It's the lips.
It's the lips on the side of the vagina.
Yeah, I did think that, but then we'd already said vulvas, and I thought that was that as well. So.
We've all had an education today.
It's tough. It's tough out there.
You can relax now.
Yeah.
Why is it? But why do men get like that?
Why do
men find it tricky to talk about it? Because I don't actually really find it that tricky.
Do you know what it is? I think because at school when
I've
you
spent
did
my
sex
life
sex
around them, you know,
I'm just really comfortable with a badge. Really,
I've been in the bush, mate. I've fucking been about a bit.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few.
Oh, actually, I feel most at ease when I'm around a big old labia.
Labia minora.
There we go. It's probably turning on.
Got a big old labia.
Oh, here we go.
Drunk again. Hanging out next to vaginas.
Natural habitat.
In the outback.
Oh, God.
Get off my land.
Get off my porch.
Just spat everywhere.
Oh joy.
Hey, why do men find it tricky to talk about these things?
I think it's just because sex education was split, which is wrong to do into genders, because also there's not just two genders, but yeah. It was very much like boys learn this, girls learn this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think boys really learn anything about the female anatomy or periods or anything. They were just like, yeah, girls have boobs.
Yeah,
that was so true.
And and sir, am I allowed to masturbate? And that's literally what it was.
Right now.
Sorry. What school did you go to? Sir, do you mind if I masturbate again? I didn't quite hit the spot last time.
I sat next to my friend Dave in the history lesson. He was, I turned to him and
he was
wanking. He looked at me and went this. Shh.
Oh my God. No one will ever believe you.
Oh my God, that's awful.
That's really freaky.
What's Dave doing now?
He also couldn't drink out of a...
Dave's in prison.
Yeah. Worried about this
He's
guy.
Been in there for a while.
Good.
And it's probably best for society that he stays.
Sounds it.
And you're so right there. It's because sex education wasn't... And also when it was spoken about, typically boys just got overexcited. It was like a funny lesson.
I think I had two sex education lessons, which is why I had no idea about my body at all. So I was like, oh, what's... That's why I was calling it a vagina up until I was like 22. I was like, yeah, that's my vagina. And then someone was like, that's your vulva. I was like...
Do we need to be so like clinical though? Like we wouldn't, back in the day, no one would have fucking known anything.
No, we need to be that clinical. It's just a vagina.
Just go backwards.
Yeah.
Sorry, I need to work on my foreplay. It's really not great.
I think it's just good to know what your body is. Like it's good to know the body parts rather than not know anything about yourself.
It's also scary, right?
Ignorance is bliss. I'm just trying to back my own corner.
But also I think it's scary. Like I think when women typically have their first period, that's like a really upsetting, traumatic time slightly. Mm-hmm. You're in school or you're swimming or you're playing sport or you're with your friends or whatever. You know, that's not like a fun experience to have. It's almost embarrassing, I think, for some people.
Well,
sometimes.
For me, and I do talk about this in that chapter, I didn't start my period until I was about 16. Mm-hmm. But I lied and said I did since I was about 13, because everyone had started their period but me. So I was like, something's wrong with me.
Wow.
So I was like, yeah, no, I started my period, lying to everyone, really faking it the whole time for literally no reason. But because no one said you can start your period from this age to this age and it's normal to start
late. Is 16
I was like,
late or not late? Or?
I think most people start between 13 and 16. So you are on the late end of it if you are 16. But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, people develop at different stages. And also, it doesn't mean that your body, like for some girls, I think for me as well, I was like, oh, I don't have any boobs and I hadn't developed. And one of my friends didn't develop until she was like 17. She's now got massive boobs. And then one of my friends who developed at 12, she's got tiny boobs. Like it doesn't mean that your body's going to be different. Or do you know what I mean?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's quite weird, that whole like race to development. It was like, I remember as a boy, like if you didn't have pubes, it was like you got fucking rinsed.
Yeah, but you had to sit
baldy.
You had to sit in like a sweet spot, because if you didn't have any pubes, you were then
if you didn't have any pubes, or you've got way too many.
Bush
going on.
Yeah. If you had too many, I remember my friend Archer school had armpit head, and we were all like, look at that freak. And like you know, he's like
armpit
10.
Head is quite a normal thing.
Yeah, I know, it's not to my
you
point.
You mutant.
It's so weird how we make so these weird. Things weird.
It's so weird. Like, that's why I always talk about, like, the innocence of things is so amazing. Mm. I remember when I was at school, I remember we were all boys boarding school at like 8 years old. We all went into the shower.
Oh God, where's this going?
The innocence of it all. I was just, you know, it was just buggery without it.
We all went into a shower together and we rubbed soap on ourselves.
On yourselves or each other?
On ourselves.
Right.
And we all hugged and then moved away and made one huge bubble. Like that, and you wouldn't do that as adults.
No,
as a metaphor, that's very beautiful.
It was amazing. It was so cool. I still remember it. It was wicked. But as when you got older, your innocence is ruined, because then, oh, that's weird.
The bubble was burst.
It's true. That bubble is burst. Well,
after this, should we get a shower? Get so sudded up. Sudded.
Make some beautiful bubbles.
Let's get
what,
bubbly.
Me, you, and Haley in a shower together.
Well, no, I was thinking just us two. But
what's wrong with me?
Well, I don't know, I thought it might be a little bit forward.
One of the big ones that I like is self-conversation starters. Mm-hmm. Is this about telling yourself positive things? What is this in the chat?
No. So it's like when I personally, when I meet new people, I don't know what to say. So I end up being like, you're amazing. You're really funny. You're really great. You're so cool. Like, I really think you're great. And that's
there's no starter. There's
that's
they're like,
not a
you.
Good one.
Wait, that, like you say that the first time you've met them.
If I
or like earlier.
Well, yeah, I'm not great. Like, I just feel like when I meet someone for the first time, my words will come out all jumbled up, and I don't know. I feel like I forget how to be a human, and I put so much pressure on it that I just weird stuff comes out or nothing comes out.
It's called spoonerisms, I think.
Spoonerisms.
But it's called a spoonerism. Apparently it's called a spoonerism, I think, where you get your words jumbled up. It's almost like an anxiety thing where you you're sort of overthinking the whole situation. You can't quite get your words out. Mm. So you end up going like, oh, can you pass that pate out of way?
And you're like, why? And then your brain's like, patois way.
It's like that. Thingy off Little Mix.
Oh, yeah. She's like,
that's a definite freak out.
I had to do an advert for BBC Three. Mm-hmm. And my lines were, BBC Three is back on TV. So BBC Three is back on TV, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to me, but there were so many people in the room. I thought, this is so much pressure to make this right. And so, honestly, they would have the camera. They would write Jamie on 3, 2, 1. And I'd go, B-b-b-b-b-b-b. And I went, oh my God. I said, to the point where people honestly were like, there's something wrong with them. Because I went, B-b-b-b-c. I went, so sorry, I can't do it.
I worked in a call center. And when I was younger and I sat next to this girl, Emma, who I think she wet herself when I did it. You had to be like, hi, name of the company. My name's Hayley. And I swear, I don't know what happened. I was like, Hayley.
Start yodeling. Hayley.
She was literally like, what's going on? And I couldn't stop. So like this poor woman on the phone, I was going,
I would have blamed it on the line. I would be like, sorry, the phones are down.
Imagine if you got stuck in that loop forever.
I was just crying. I was like, it won't stop. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I think I ended up hanging up.
Why does it happen to your boys? I know.
But like, you never forget it. It will haunt you forever. Like, that was in, I was like 18. Oh, God. Awful. I don't know why it happens, though. It's like you glitch.
It's just you break.
Yeah.
You can't take the pressure.
No.
You don't even know that.
They're just there trying to order something, and I'm like, they're like,
sound like a seal.
They must have honestly been on the other side of the phone, like, is she alright?
Oh God.
Terrible.
One of the big chapters as well is. Me versus grief.
Mm-hmm. We're bringing it down a notch.
We got a little bit.
Okay, let's sit back.
But also, you dedicated the book to your dad.
I did.
Which is amazing for my dad. Sorry, this book mentions queefing and poop so many times. How come you gave special thanks to your dad?
So the grief chapter is about him. But he, when he was with us, he always used to write books and really wanted to be published. Really, he was just very like clever. He has got a published book that he self-published, but he used to write books and then he'd go out and try and get them published and no one ever took them. So when he passed away and I got this book offer, I was like, this just feels like the best way to honor him and finish what he started. But I don't think that he would have written about queefing and periods and stuff, but
he'd be so proud.
You never know.
But it,
you do never know.
But he'd be so proud. I mean, honestly, that's just insane.
I hope so.
Oh, well, I know so, right? Yeah. You know so. Without a doubt. How do you deal with grief? Because it is a really tricky thing.
I think it's really hard. I think that when I was grieving, I didn't know I was grieving. And also, right at the beginning, when he first passed away, I was very much like not quite registering it. And I think it took ages for me to actually have, I think the day I found out, burst into tears, was really upset. But then it didn't feel like he passed away and we were all like trying to have a laugh and trying to keep the spirits up, which I always think sounds really weird. But there was a lot of laughter around that time that we all remembered things about him. We shared stories, which naturally all of us were laughing. And we were trying to make jokes. Like when I picked up his ashes, I was like patting them. It came like, you're meant to get like an urn, but we decided not to get an urn because they looked really urny. And we were like, oh, it's not really quite
right.
Sorry,
if you got anything a little bit less urny.
Yeah, I was like, it's a bit too urny, very old school. So we were like, oh, let's just get it how it is. And then we'll buy our own bag for it. Not bag, sorry. Our own urn. It came in like a sandwich bag.
Mine came in like a concrete mixer bag, pretty much.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, it's like
There was so much of it. It was the most unceremonious thing we've ever done. I was like, I threw it, and then I was like, there's still probably
what
like there's probably like 50 more and I'm just
said it was like,
it's like a bag of sand.
By the end, I was just heavy. Like, it was awful.
See ya. It's horrific. We still have it.
In my head, it was going to be this kind of like beautiful moment where you sort of stand at a cliff face and it blows off into the thing. It was literally just like chucking just like concrete crust on the floor.
And I was just outrageous. Like,
this is really not going the way I thought it was going to go.
No, it's so heavy. Like they passed me the bag and I was like, oh, what a flashy bag.
It's also such a bizarre moment. You're like, right. This is the person that I loved.
You're
dearly,
in here.
And they're in this bag. You're like,
you
what
fit in
the
that bag.
Fuck is this?
Yeah. Like,
it's very odd.
Also, why doesn't it weigh the same as them? You know? Still there. It's all there. Yeah, that's a really stupid question. But I expected it to be really light. And when I handed it,
you're
going
to go back to the crematorium and go, I think that have you pinched some of my dad? This weighs.
We're missing a couple of feet.
Yeah, this weighs a lot less than he used to weigh.
I shouldn't be able to carry this. Something's wrong.
Yeah, no.
But
it
no,
is weird.
You do
kind of have to like, even though it is quite dark and fucked up, you have to,
you've
got to find comedy.
Yeah, like if you don't laugh, you will just cry.
I do think there's a lot to be said in kind of changing the, not narrative, but just changing the way we feel about death a little bit, because we're sort of bred to, it's this such dark, like cloud subject, and it's like, but actually there should be celebration in death. And
yeah,
like,
there really should.
And I think it can be a much more lighthearted, celebrated thing.
I
did not do that.
No,
I was the same as you, just like cried like I don't think I've ever heard anyone cried before.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And then I was suddenly just like, right, normal face.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah, but you're quite like that in general.
It didn't. What?
Excuse me?
Yeah. You're quite like, not even meaning, you don't even force it. You just are built that way.
I think that I, for some reason, have a mechanism that, the way of dealing with trauma or grief is to just go, let's get rid of that.
Yeah.
That's not going to serve us. But then what happens is it builds up manifesting and coming out in strange ways.
Hayley, has that happened to you? Did that?
So my dad had dementia before he died, and that I didn't deal with. That I put in like a little compartment in the back of my head. And I didn't realize, I think it was for about 2 years, I was just a different person.
I remember you saying you got angry at it.
Oh, so I was just not a nice person to be around. Like, I would argue with everyone. I was very short with people. And like at the time, I didn't notice it at all. But obviously people around me were like, you're hard work. Mm. Even like I'd look back at videos I'd made years ago, comedy things. And I'd be like, how did I even write that? Like, I don't have that part of my brain is gone. Like, I didn't know how to write that. And it wasn't until I started dealing with it and started trying to understand what had happened and tried to process it, that part came back and that the anger stripped away. Wow. But when my dad did die, the beginning part, I was just like really numb, really confused. And then the anger that came out of that was hot. Like, it was just really weird. Like, I'm not an angry person.
Angry to what though? Life.
I don't even know. I felt anger. Like I'd be sat at home in my flat on my own and I'd be watching something and this like heat would rise through my body and I'd be like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And I'd like punch my pillows and then sprint out the house till it went.
It would be quite useful now.
It was weird.
The heating crisis.
Yeah, exactly.
Just constantly hot.
Just running around.
That is really tough. Having anger is a real, real remedy for disaster.
It's horrible, but I wasn't around anyone.
Well, you know.
A recipe.
Yeah, a recipe, not remedy. but you won't. But if it's inside of you and you got to get rid of it. And some
it
people
really,
don't. Some
it
people
really
sit with it.
Creates like blockages, I found. And unless you clear that, like it also, I think it like, it does manifest like physically in your body as well.
Yeah.
Like I had kind of loads of like weird injuries and I was just feeling a bit like fucked. Do you know what I mean? And I think I've only just recently like managed to kind of ease them out.
Clear
and, like,
that, yeah.
Yeah, get it out of my body a little bit.
How did you get over it? Or not get over it, but come to terms with it all?
I think therapy was the only thing that really helped, because it's so difficult to process any of those emotions and you're experiencing so many. I kept Googling it. I was like, is that part, like, why am I sleeping constantly? Like, I couldn't stay awake. I'd go and see my mum and then I'd come home, pass out until 7 p.m. then I'd wake up for an hour, have something to eat, like fall asleep. The next day I'd wake up at 10. Like I'm always up really early. So it was weird that I just couldn't get out of bed, couldn't stop falling asleep. And it was just like random moments. I'd be like, oh, I'm gone. And it was like the anger, the sleep, the jealousy I'd get for seeing other families, like things just like were pouring out of me. And I was like, I don't know where this is all stupid. I don't know where this is coming from. And every time I Googled it, it was like, this is a symptom.
Because it can't be that. It's not that simple.
No. Yeah, I you was think like, it, yeah, oh, it's not that.
It's not that. Yeah, it's not that I'm dying. Yeah. Because it's always the simplest answer.
Yeah.
Of course, you're grieving. You've had a really traumatic experience. Mm. Someone you've loved and left you. Of course, it's about that. Yeah. But we don't think it is.
No, you don't think at all about. No one, also, absolutely no one ever teaches you how to grieve or what grieving looks like. And it doesn't look the same for everyone. Like, I looked up how to grieve and it shows you that Sarah. Way of grieving, and I can't remember what it stands for, but they go through each of those, and I thought, that's just not how it is for me. Like, there's so many different things. And at the end of it, I was like, okay, he's died, but it's still, I mean, I'm still in therapy and we talk about it. Well, we don't talk about it as much as I probably should, because I don't think I realize I'm still grieving. But there'll be things where, like, we were watching I actually don't know what. Oh, have you seen Shrinking on Apple
TV? It's amazing. I haven't
really
seen it.
Really good.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a series on Apple TV, and it's got Jason Segel in it, yeah. And his wife's died, and he's a shrink, and it's really good.
Apparently it's really
good. I recommend.
Yeah.
But in that, the daughter's grieving the loss of the mum, and it really quickly triggered everything in me, and I was just sat there bawling my eyes out like I'd just lost him. And it just, I'll see an advert. There was an advert where the girl's talking with her dad and it was really sweet. And I was like, I can't do this.
Oh,
and it
no.
just like, you'll not expect it. And you'll see something and then suddenly be like, oh my God, I'm really not over it. But then the next day, I haven't even thought about it. It's odd.
I feel incredibly lucky, but also maybe it's a double-edged sword. I fortunately have not experienced grief in terms of, I've had grandparents who die and things like that, but you know, some, I haven't experienced it really, you know, sort of, right in front of me, and I'm really scared of it. I'm so scared that actually, you know, we know one day that, you know, loved ones or friends or whatever are probably, that's going to happen to them, and that's a really scary thing for me for some reason. I haven't accepted it yet, the fact that I couldn't phone someone up or whatever. And it's really like, if I sink into it too much, it becomes scary. And you know, they always say, there's this thing which they say, sort of the really hard part of your life is from about 27 to 45. And that's because responsibilities happen, financial issues. That Ferrari that we were meant to have, and you know, it hasn't really got here. We don't have that house in the south of France that we thought we were going to have. And one of the things is people die, friends, family members, whatever it is, and you have to deal with that. So it's a really hard period to go through. And we're sort of in that sniper's lens at the moment, which is a bit scary, I think, for me. But it's a part of life.
It is, but sadly, nothing ever prepares you for it.
Yeah,
you, I know. You can't sit there and go, everyone's going to die eventually, this is going to happen, and then it happened and be okay with it, because you never will. Like, it's such a hard thing.
It's one hell of a lesson.
Yeah.
Teaches you so much. Like, my biggest fear was losing my mum. And so when it happened, I was like, well, that's perfect. That's the thing I was literally most scared of. So I was like, fuck. But weirdly, you learn so much from it and you kind of build it. And also in some weird way, I'm like, well, it's kind of out of the way now. So like,
I don't have to worry about it. Yeah.
Come on.
There we go. But I also think that's out the way. It's done. Brilliant.
Oh, relief.
I also think, like, I used to be really scared of dying, or like, not scared of dying, but I had such bad health anxiety that I always thought I was dying, and that scared me. Whereas now I think, sounds really dark, but whenever I'm like, oh my God, I'm dying, or if something's to happen that I think I could die or like might kill me, I'd be like, well, be reunited with my dad.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it definitely puts you at ease with death.
That's cool. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so good. Hedy, honestly, I don't read books.
Can we just mention,
but I'm going to freaking...
You're on the quote.
Jamie, I know.
Jamie is the... He's got one
hilarious.
Word.
Hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah, I'm honoured. I'm going to put it on his camera. I'm right there. And Hayley asked, she said, do you mind if you're on there? And I was like, absolutely not. It's unbelievable. You're joking. It's the greatest thing ever.
I'm really happy to
be
there.
I'm so happy. Honestly, go. I really want people to go and get the book because it's so good. And I know I say this and you'll be like, oh, no, you're the funniest, so funny in everything you do and so great in everything you do. And you won't accept that. You'll be like, oh, no. No.
More what like, a liar.
Yeah, I know. But you truly are. And listen, all of your social media and everything we can go and check out as well. So on TikTok and Instagram and all those kind of stuff. But also, if you're checking out Hayley's social media, go and buy a copy of the book because it's really cool and it's
great. Force feeding it.
Yeah, force, just get it. Go and do it 100%. Also, your brother wrote in the back, it's great to you finally found someone to talk about queefing instead of the family dinner table. Do you talk about queefing a lot at the family dinner table?
I talk about queefing everywhere I go.
Everywhere I go.
always take the queefing with you.
All right, Hayley, I want to say a big thank you for coming on Private Parts again,
dude. Thank you so much for having me.
I really appreciate it.
See you next year.
Make this an annual thing.
Yeah, we're doing an annual thing.
Yeah.
You'll be in another book, versus Spider-Man.
Probably.
Things have really progressed.
That's the next one.
Hayley, thank you so much. We'll see everyone next week. Goodbye. Oh, they're going to be lolling themselves. Hayley, thank you so much for coming on, you absolute legend. Hey guys, remember, if you haven't subscribed to our podcast, go and give a little subscribe to all of our little things, but mainly to the Spotify or Apple accounts because it makes other people see.
I'd be so interested to know whether you doing this every time, saying that little spiel every week, if it actually increases people.
100%
Do you think people actually listen to it?
Yeah, of course they do. All right guys, have the greatest day. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.